This week's parasha, Parashat Vayishlach, we have Yaakov's preparation for his meeting with Esav. And Yaakov davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please help him. And part of his tefillah is the following pasuk: Katonti mikol ha-chasadim, and belittled by all the chesed, the benevolence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for him, mikol emes, that Yaakov is recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has lived up to all the haftachos, asher asisas avdecha, he did for your servant, kibbe makli, avarti es hayadin hazeh, v'ata ha-yisi l'shnei machanos. So, kibbe makli, avarti es hayadin, is a reference to what? It's a reference to how Yaakov left his father's house. He left Be'er Sheva and went to Charan. Why is that part of the tefillah? Yaakov Avinu is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me so much chesed already, perhaps it's expired, I'm nervous about my meeting with Esav, please help me. And he points out, why is that part of the tefillah? So the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful idea. He quotes the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Vav. The Gemara in Chulin and Daf Vav discusses Rav Pinchas ben Yair was going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuin. He was going to redeem captives. And he reaches a Nahar called the Nahar Ginai. And he needs to cross through the Nahar Ginai. And he tells the Nahar Ginai, split your waters so I can cross over. So I can cross through the river and go over to the other side and do kind of mitzvah pidyon shvuin. So the Nahar says back to him, I'm sorry, you're going to do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm also going to do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I fulfill the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me to be a river that flows, and just like you're fulfilling the will of God by going to do the mitzvah of this pidyon shvuin, I'm also doing the will of God. So how come I have to stop doing the will of God in order to split my waters so that you, Rav Pinchas ben Yair, can walk through the river? And not only that, says the river, you don't know if you'll be able to be successful in your mission. I know I am. If my river continues to flow, I'm certainly doing the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you cross through the river, you don't necessarily know that you're going to be successful in the mitzvah of pidyon shvuin. So Pinchas ben Yair responds, he says, "Im einat ocholik, if you don't split gezrani alecha shalui yavru b'chol ma'im le'olam nivko ana." Pinchas ben Yair tells the river, if you don't split, I'll make sure that you stop, water does not flow anymore in your river. And all of a sudden, the river split. Pinchas ben Yair made the river split. Marsha asks the question. He says, didn't the river have a good time? They're both doing the love of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why does the river have to submit himself to the Pinchas ben Yair, and essentially they're both fulfilling the will of Hashem? So Maharsho explains that there's a big difference between the river's fulfillment of God's will and Pinchas ben Yair's fulfillment of God's will. The river has no bechira; it's automatic. It doesn't have a choice what to do or not to do. He was created to have a river that flows. The fact that his river is flowing takes anything. Takes any thought, takes any effort, serious nefesh, certainly not. But Pinchas ben Yair, who's a human being, who has a bechira, who went ahead and made a decision, even though perhaps it was inconvenient, or he wasn't in the mood, or whatever it was, he could have said, no, I'm not going to be mekayem the mitzvah pidyon shvuin. But the mere fact that he overcame his bechira, and he said, I'm going to travel, to try to be mekayem the mitzvah pidyon shvuin, that tells us that Pinchas ben Yair has more power than the Nahar, and that's why the fact that Pinchas ben Yair says, hey, I'm fulfilling the will of Hashem against obstacles, with serious nefesh, with free choice, therefore I have a greater merit than the river, and therefore the river has to listen to me and to split. That's the Gemara in Chulin. Says the Chasam Sofer, Yaakov Avinu is really saying the same thing. When Yaakov Avinu puts into part of his tefillah, kibbe makli avarti es hayadin, what is Yaakov Avinu saying? Yaakov Avinu is saying an unbelievable thing. He's saying, if he would have left Be'er Sheva to run away from Esav because Esav is going to kill him, so that's not an expression of Bechira to do the right thing. He's stopped running away from Esav. So then the Yarden doesn't have to split for him. Why? There's no Bechira involved. He's not being Mosin Nefesh. He's not doing anything with Shem Shemayim. He's merely running away from Esau. But why was he running away? He had Emunah and Bitachon, and he knew that Esau can't do anything to him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides not to have anything done to Yaakov. But what? The only reason why I left Be'er Sheva was not because I was running away from Esau. The only reason why I'm running away from Be'er Sheva and going to Charan is to be Mekayim Netzivu with my father Yitzchak. Yitzchak told me to leave, to go find a wife from Charan. That's where I'm going. I have a Bechira to do the right thing. I'm going to Shem Shemayim. Therefore, he puts, and no keset, no zav, all I have is my stick. He puts the stick in the Yarden and it splits. Yaakov Avinu has been part of this tefillah, is I'm only here at L'Shem Shemayim, and that's why, and that should continue with me. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please now save me from Esav, because the whole reason why I'm here, Kimakli Varti Es Yarden, Yarden only split for me. Why? Because I'm here on a mission not to save myself, and not because I don't have a Munah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the mere fact that I'm being Mekayim the Tzivui from my father. You see an unbelievable story that. How Yaakov davened. Sounds like he's asking for a special skus. That the reason why he's here is Ol Hashem Shemayim. But if a person goes ahead and is Moser Nefesh, a person makes a choice. A person makes a choice to do the right thing, he's going to have extra Siyata Dishmaya. I don't want to harp on staying longer in Yeshiva, but the idea is if a person makes decisions in life, similar to Yaakov Avinu, not because he's running away from something, not because of any ulterior motive, but merely a person asks himself, what is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I be Mekayim in the same Shemayim? Echen Amar Vechra Mamet Uvavad Shirich Havim Livu L'Shemayim. If your actions are all Hashem Shemayim, if you choose and you make your decisions, how long you stay in Yeshiva, which place you go to after Yeshiva, what kind of career you go into, the kind of people you hang out with, you make your decisions, you make Bechira, L'Shem Shemayim, like Yaakov, you know, he wasn't running away from Esau, he was going to be Mekayim Kibbut Av, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you extra Siyata D'Shemaya, and you can see that you can use that as part of your tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, because this, I'm living my life according to the best of my ability, serving you. That's point number one. Point number two is that in the same tefillah, it says, Katonim Chazodim, I'm belittled by all the benevolence, Kimakli Vati Yasiyadein, and now I have two camps. What's the Meforshim ask? What's the connection between the two camps? What's the connection? So I'll be derech apshat. It's an expression of how much chesed Yaakov is recognizing, how much chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Yaakov Avinu survive the house of Lavan. Right? Mm-hmm. When he came, all he had was a little stick. And now he has two camps. He has so much. What's Yaakov Avinu doing? He's taking the time out to recognize, wow, how much do I have? How little do I feel by the benevolence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has showered upon me? Tremendous. A person could think, it would be hard for Yaakov to think about this, but the amount of grief that Lavan tried to do to Yaakov, and compounded by the fact that he came with a mere stick, and now he has Knaynor, four wives, 11 children, Sonar Bokar, right? Everything's great for the Anhara. The person can say, oh, this is normal. This is, you know, it's happened to them. You know, of course. It just, you know, it happens. But to articulate it and to really recognize how much chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is tremendous. So, in the Sefer Matoka Or from Shlomo Levenstein, he quotes from Yaakov Galinsky. Yaakov Galinsky spent many years, I'm not exactly sure how many years, put in Siberia. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, he's a big mashkiach. And he built a family. So one of his grandchildren's bar mitzvahs, he said over the following. He said that he was learning in the Vardik, and everything was great. And they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just sitting and learning. And the communists came in and said, you guys are guilty. Guilty of what? Guilty. Doesn't make a difference. The next thing they know, they're in Siberia. No trial, no nothing. They get there, 25 years sentence in Siberia. And the guard tells them, says, I just want you to know, right? You can come, but you can never leave, right? Nobody leaves here alive. Exact quote is, you see this gate? It's one directional. Nobody ever leaves this place alive. And there's nothing to eat. simply. But Yaakov Galinsky, and it was known that many people, because it's frigid cold, people would pass away, and they wouldn't be buried properly. They would just pass away, and there would be nowhere to go. It's, you know, in the freezing cold, you couldn't dig in the ground. So Yaakov Galinsky said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tefillah. He said, I'm not even asking for a piece of bread. I'm not even asking to survive. All I want is Kever Yisrael. I want to be buried like a Jew. That's how serious and how scary the situation was. Says Yaakov Galinsky at his grandson's bar mitzvah 65 years later, if you would have told me when I was in Siberia 65 years later, the biggest problem that I have, and he's talking about this bar mitzvah, that I was supposed to go leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Lars to give chizuk to people, and the reason why I couldn't go to give chizuk to people was because I had a grandson's bar mitzvah and I had a sheva brachos and I had an engagement and I had a bris for my family. So I couldn't go. That was the biggest problem. He never would have imagined it in a million years. On the one hand, 65 years earlier, he's sitting in Siberia. And now, 65 years later, his problems are that he can't go to be mechazek other people because he has so many simchas in his family. But the mere fact, the recognition of what we have, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, needs to be really, really contemplated and thought. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is coming to tell us. Yaakov Avinu is saying, listen, I've been through a lot, tremendous chesed. Now I have two camps. A person has to realize and focus and contemplate all the great chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us. So often we think about all the challenges that we have and all the difficulties that we have, but in reality, Bli Ayin Hara, life is gewalt. Right? Do you have what to eat? Absolutely. Are you in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh? Yes. Are you in Yeshiva? Yes. Do you have friends? Yes. Do you have a rebbeim? Yes. Do you have the opportunity to learn all that? Yes. What a golden opportunity. But so often, actually, just to say a cute little joke about Yaakov Galinsky. Yaakov Galinsky was very, very short. A few years ago, we saw him on the B'nai B'rak Shabbat, but he passed away, I believe, around 2 years ago or so. He was very, very short. So he was very, as you can see, he was a very positive person. Even though he went through Siberia, right, he was able to survive Siberia. And he built, and he was a mashkiach, and he built a tremendous family. He said, by him, it was very easy to see the glass is always half full, because he was so short, he couldn't see past the half of the glass. So he always thought the glass was half full because he was so short. But that's a lesson in life. A person has to realize, look at this golden opportunity. We're so busy saying, "Oh, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have that." And that's all. Of course, Yaakov at the end of the parasha says, "Yeshli kol," and Esav says, "Yeshli rab." The point is, focus a little bit on how what an opportunity. The chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yaakov saying, I came with a stick and now I have a massive family and all this wealth. Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you. And I think we have to say the same thing. Of course, there are trying times for Jewish people, there are trying times for many, many, many people. But on the other hand, look how good Kodesh Baruch Hu has made it for us. And I want to say something else. Right? And how many Jews are there in the world? How many frum Jews are there in the world? And how many young men your age have the opportunity to sit and learn yeshiva? Hundreds? Maybe a few thousand. I'm not even okay. How many Jewish young men in the world have the opportunity to sit now in a yeshiva without any other worries? You should be mamish walking around with the biggest smiles on your faces. You don't have. It's unbelievable. And the question is, if we think about it like that, we think about how privileged we are to be learning in the yeshiva in Yerushalayim or Kodesh at this age with no real worries. Just slightly compared to what. You know, during the Shoah wasn't. You think about the years, the world is 5776 years old. Okay, what's a mere 70 years? 70 years is nothing. 70 years ago, people your age, I don't want to harp on the point, but they were living through the Gehenna of the Shoah. Look at you, when you're Shalom Yer Kodesh, you're not starving. It's certainly very important to take a lesson from Yaakov Avinu to focus on how good we have it. And then, once you realize how good you have it, you should smile, and you should say, wow, what's the least I can do? Take advantage of the opportunity to be here in yeshiva, to learn. Every day is precious, here in yeshiva. And to say, wow, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for this opportunity, and then seize the moment, and learn, daven as best as you can, come to, on time to davening, learn every Seder to the best of your ability, get the most of every single Shabbos, as an expression of a tiny little bit of a karas hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how good we have it. That's number two. Number three is somewhat of a mashal that I heard this morning on a shiur from a official shafter who I loved listening to. And he said a tremendous lesson. He was talking about the idea that we're living through times that are so challenging and so I don't want to say scary, but unnerving, unexpected. We don't know what's going to, 1 minute to the next. Who knows what's going on? So he said the following thing. He read in one of the books from Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky. Abraham J. Twersky is a famous Rav and also a famous psychologist. And he had a patient whose wife wanted to divorce him. Why did the wife want to divorce this gentleman? Because he was a Jet fan. He's a Jet fan. Being a Jet fan is a reason for divorce? Well, Jets, I guess, often lose, I guess, in those days. I'm not sure what's going on now. And he, mamish, his whole mood was based upon the Jets winning or losing. And if they lost, he was, as they say in Yiddish, ois mensch. He couldn't function. He simply cannot function. His ups and downs in life, I don't know what he did the rest of the year. Okay, maybe he sulked the rest of the year after you know, because we know the football season is only about 4 or 5 months. He simply was dysfunctional. So what did Abraham J. Twersky suggest? Listen to what he suggested. An unbelievable yisod. Such wisdom and so true about life. He said, you want to watch the games? No problem. I don't know if you guys remember, but there used to be something called a VCR and like a tape. Okay? So, tape the games. Don't find... And he said, what? But I'm going to know what happens. No, don't find out what happened. Don't find out what happened. Tape the games. Don't find out what happened. And then watch the tape again. And you know what? He was cured. He was cured? Doesn't make any sense. Right? He doesn't know the score. He's watching with suspense the game, and he's cured. The answer is, once you know it already happened, once you know the end result has already been decided, so even though there's an element of suspense, you know, like, it's done already. Like, it's taken care of. It happened. Whatever it happened, happened. And the guy was cured. Because he wasn't as emotionally charged as he's watching the game, and he understood it already happened, so he could function. And it's an unbelievable lesson for life. We know that we're living through times that are totally not understandable, very much unrelatable. We don't know what's going on, but we know one thing. Kaddish Baruch Hu is running the world. It's essentially been decided. It's similar to what? It's already been decided. It's known. It's like he said over that by the second base of Migdash, right, there were three different rules during the base of Migdash. First the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. Now, while they were living through it, it was certainly challenging. They didn't know what the next day was going to bring. But when you look back at history, you say, oh, okay, it worked out. You know, those 300 years, they happened. And so you invite it, and you go on. So too here, if we understand that Akash Baruch Hu is running the world, we don't understand it, it may be challenging, but it's already been decided, it's already a known thing. There's a different way to connect to it. We can go, if we go through life with that approach, that Akash Baruch Hu is running the world, and it's already Ki'ilu, the game is already over, we're just watching to see how it plays out, then we have a different mindset. We have a different way to connect and relate to the events that are happening around us. I just want to review the three nekudos. Number one, Yaakov in his tefillah reminds, is tapping into the fact that the only reason why he's on this mission is L'shem Shemayim. And if he's L'shem Shemayim, then he gets extra siyata d'shemayim. Number two, to remember and realize, just like Yaakov Avinu did, how much chesed the Kodesh Baruch Hu showers upon us. And that we have to, the least we can do is show appreciation and use the gifts that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. And number three, as we go through, live through these trying times, we have to know that it's been decided already. Okay, of course, we can be mechazik ourselves, there's no question about it, and every tefillah that we learn, and every word of Torah that we learn, every ches that we do, helps us from Chavali Mashiach, and certainly helps Klal Yisrael be protected in general, in our community, in our family, and so on and so forth, no question about it. But ultimately we know, Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world, it's as if everything's already been decided, just so we can look back at history, and it's not as challenging, it's not as difficult to look at. Post facto, So too over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, that's what's going to happen. And we're just seeing how exactly it's playing out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should watch over all of us and all of Klal Yisrael, and we should see the Gula Shem Rameinu. Have a good Shabbos.